Do it.
Hi. How about a count around, Joel?
3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
You might have to put a little lube on that nipple.
Rich, can you just go suck it?
Hey guys, it's Flying Rich here, and I just like to get a little on my tongue.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime!
Are you making it for young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tip show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the guests, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the strolling, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 819 of the Linux Links Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Get ready, built some AKs.
Have Fly Rich.
From the Hughes Outpost Orlando Command. And yes, I like a little on my tongue.
And the man, the myth, the legend, Joel the Gorkon.
Hey, hey.
And DM Fry just turned in.
Hey, guys.
What's up, my man?
Not too much. What's going on?
How you doing? So, Rich, last week you weren't on, and you missed the extravaganza. So I guess you didn't know that I was able to get Linux to boot on the Pinebook.
Oh, cool! Oh,
finally.
Good.
Now this is what I had to do.
How many hammers did it take?
How many hammers? So I got the old card, right? And I tried to get QoS on it. And it wouldn't work. It's just, for some reason, the download just never worked, would never complete. I tried for a little bit. And then I remember what you had said about formatting, you know, F-disking the card, getting rid of everything on it, and then letting it do it. So I did that with the new card. And I did Armbian on it at the Pinebook 1080p. And when I tried it out the next day, it booted into Armbian. And I was like, wow, this is great. You know, I can finally get around and mess around with this. Only it didn't have, like, the ability to easily configure wireless that I knew of at the time, right? I'm like, it's not connected to my network, and I got to connect it to IW config, you know, the wireless network, and I can't remember what is needed for that. So I'm like, well, maybe that's what I had to do all this time, was just format or F-disk and then install like that. So I went and I'm like, I'm not going to waste time with Armbian because I really wanted to try Arch on this thing because that was the first thing I tried. So I did the Arch one. Exact same way. Would not boot.
Huh.
Would not boot. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I tried another one, one of the other ones that I tried to pull down before I went back to Armbian. Like, and then when I did the Armbian the second time, it wouldn't boot. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. So I pulled out the card and I pushed it back in and jiggled it a little bit, tried to make sure it was well seated, and it did boot. And then I was like, oh, cool. So then I'm like, well, wait a minute. Maybe all I needed to do before was to jiggle it when I booted it. You know, put it in there and make sure it's got a real... Maybe I got to try that. So I went through the whole process again and put Arch back on there and tried it. And no matter what I did with Fiddle, it would not boot Arch.
No way.
It would not boot anything else. I could not get anything other than Armbian to boot on it. And then I found out last week about Armbian having, like, this really easy configuration tool that I didn't have to try and recall the IW config and look that all up and everything. And I ran that, and it connected to the network just fine. It worked great. But my experience primarily with, like, as a desktop, using it as a consumption device for websites, it was pretty slow. And when I went to YouTube and played a video, it was like watching a slideshow.
Oh, no.
So I was like, you know, this is a great laptop, and you could do a lot of things with it. If you have the patience for web browsing, yeah, but much beyond that, like if I want to use this for system administration or something, it would be a great device, right?
The Android runs good on it.
I thought personally. I thought performance-wise, the Armbian ran better than Android when I was playing around with Android. But that might just be, like, I didn't really like the interface of Android on it. That was kind of kludgy to interact with that with a mouse and not have a touch. It felt a little weird to me. But I found that Armbian ran really snappy. It was just like web browsing. You know, modern websites, you need a whole desktop computer in and of itself just to load them. Yeah. So they really load those things out. That was the only downside. And I felt then that the functionality that I could get out of Linux, you know, Linux in general, Armbian or whatever on there, there's like a whole world of functionality and things that I feel like I could do, like system administration and things like that, really easily on this device and not be hindered too much by performance. Whereas if I was running the Android OS on there, not so much. I feel like my choices would be a lot more limited as to what I can do on it, and what I would want to do on it would be even a smaller subset.
Gotcha.
But it's a really cool device.
Well, I believe they were taking orders for the Pinebook Pro.
Yeah, somebody ordered one. Damn, who was that?
Door?
No. Somebody on the MeWe channel that we follow, I thought, ordered one.
Yeah, so far, my anonymous benefactor hasn't come through yet with one.
Joel, man, come on. What are you waiting for? I don't think it was Mike Shoon. I thought it was somebody posting on. Oh, speaking of, I don't know if you guys. Oh, Joe let us know in MeWe that he's driving to Florida, Rich.
Whoa, where?
So he's going to miss the show. I don't know where he's going. Florida, it's not that big, right?
Yeah. Oh, crap.
But on the MeWe channel, and we had a posting from, I want to get this right.
Is that really a channel?
What, the group? I'm sorry, the group. Right. The group. So
what is this thing?
What, MeWe?
Yeah.
You don't know what MeWe is?
It's an alternative social network that's different than Twitter or Facebook or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, MeWe.com.
Yeah, it's way different than everything, including Minds.
It kind of feels a little bit like Google Plus, and I have to say I miss Google Plus still.
No, I hear what you're saying.
But I still can't believe they got rid of Google Plus. I mean, at least for free. I think it's all Dan Fry's fault too.
What you should do, Rich,
blame it on me,
is you should get a business subscription and then pay for everybody to have an account, and we can have Google Plus back again.
Yep. Well,
dude, if I could pay for myself to have an account, that'd be
I was gonna say that's actually a big thing. It's I think supposed to go away tomorrow. Is Google Hangouts on Air?
What? Yeah, everybody I know has been using like combination of Skype and a couple other things to do basically what you do Hangouts
Discord.
On here.
I mean, you can still stream live to YouTube. You just have to go through an encoder.
See, Hangouts on Air, it was so convenient. That was so great because it did the automatic switching and everything.
And it's simple too. I mean,
yes.
Some of the YouTubers that I watch, that's how they would record their live streams.
Yep.
And you can do it on so much lower bandwidth than you can, say, OBS.
Although, Skype, the quality on Skype is pretty damn good for live streaming.
Well, it's TeamSpeak's only audio, right? There's no video component.
Correct. To TeamSpeak. Yep. As far as I know.
So when you said with that Hangout functionality going away, you meant like podcast shows, not business, right?
Right. Yeah. The Hangouts on Air, because it was very cool, because would stream it. It was very easy to hook it up with YouTube live stream. And then it basically would auto-switch based on audio. So basically whoever's talking, it would switch to.
Right. Manfred, what is it that you guys use over there? Is it... It's not Zoom, right?
We use Zoom almost exclusively for video. But I've tried to set up like the Hangouts chat and the business one for video, that's like kind of like their Zoom competitor, right? That one does work, but the Hangouts Meet works, but Hangouts Chat does not work on our accounts for some reason, but regular Hangouts does on it. And then what works the best, I feel, is the integration in Slack for what's the company that they bought that brought in the video calling and I don't know what it is, but I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And that does work surprisingly well. We pretty much are now exclusively Zoom, but some people want to get a video call. Or want to do, like, instead of doing a Zoom session, they'll do the Slack call. And that it's convenient that you don't have to open another.
Mm-hmm. What is this? All right, can I ask, what the heck is with Microsoft? That they went from Skype to, before, what was it before Skype? What was the collaboration?
Link?
Communication? Link. So it was Link, Skype, and now what the heck is the new thing called? Oh, whatever. Team something. I don't know. It's like, really? Pick something. Stick with it.
I'm sorry.
Teams.
Microsoft Teams.
Oh, Lord, help us all.
You know what? I didn't like it. I absolutely did not like it when it was Link. And I'm not a big fan of Skype. I could take it or leave it. So I'm leaving it because there's other alternatives.
Well,
so
I'll tell you what pissed me off with Skype.
Microsoft Teams.
Is Skype, I can't see prior conversations because, you know, it might be a Friday and I might be collaborating with somebody on something. And I might go, Monday morning. Oh, geez, you know, Dan told me to do this. Or Dan told me the next step is this. Or I got to call Dan back because whatever. And it's like, let me look it up. What server were we working on? I gotta like fudge my way through some damn history. It's like, really? It's like it should be like a right mouse click, worst case scenario, in the window. I should be able to click Dan, right mouse click, see prior conversation.
And Skype doesn't allow you to do that?
No. Hey, and maybe there's a super secret way to do it, and I don't know how. But
wait,
it's just annoying.
Is it? Does Microsoft Teams allow you to do that?
Crapify, no, I try not to use it.
Oh, Microsoft Teams is gone.
Teams is the new hotness in the Microsoft world.
Oh yeah, that's right. Never mind. It's the Skype for Business is gone.
Or it's gone.
Right.
Away.
So Link and Skype, they brought those two together, but they still had separate names or something.
Yep.
And then Link went away, and now Skype's gone, and they're both combined into that. Wait, is Skype gone, or is that now just...
Wow, whatever.
Is it still separate?
The thing is, the current version of Skype relies on Microsoft servers in the back end. It's not peer-to-peer anymore.
As in when Skype was Skype and not Microsoft Skype.
Correct.
I forgot about that. Like, I forgot that, you could do peer-to-peer with Skype and didn't have to go through.
Yeah, that's how it originated.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, well. I remember when the choices were, like, Skype and SIP. Remember those choices?
Setting up Asterisk.
Yeah, and I love that. The Asterisk was cool.
You can use Discord. You can do voice discussions as well. And a lot of the YouTubers that I know of, that, because there's a lot of YouTubers that basically just use YouTube to stream what is essentially a podcast. They may or may not have video.
Joel, how many YouTubers do you know?
Personally, I know one. You. Maybe two. Personally.
Guess who just got monetized?
Holy crap, you got monetized? That's a miracle.
Yeah, I've earned a whole $4. I might buy, might be able to buy a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you say I'm going to get kicked off soon? You know something I don't?
He's over there writing nasty.
He's dropping dime right now.
Yeah, he's writing nasty letters.
Yeah.
Report. Wait.
He's flagging my content.
Yeah, there's another one. A lot of gamers have started using a service called DLive as well. Some have been using that. I know they use that, not for tonight's or last night's debate, but they had used it for the first Democratic debate. The second one, because the first one they did it, they basically were trying to stream the audio from the debate on YouTube, which is a no-no, and that got flagged like right away because NBC sucks.
Well, why would they flag that? Wouldn't you want people discussing things like that?
You would think, but...
Yeah, when you were talking about Discord, I'm trying to figure out why I don't like Discord. And I think, to me, whenever I go use Discord, and I don't have this feeling like at work with Slack, but it's almost like the same thing. Like, when I go to Discord, a group's Discord, it seems to me like I am going into like a whole social network session, where in most other services, each different channel is a completely like different group. You know what I mean?
Well,
when I go to Discord,
it's like you get your own social network for whatever you're doing.
Yeah, and I feel like that like then becomes overwhelming.
Almost overkill.
Yeah, there's way too many. It's like across. It's like going to a forum in the past where there's different like topics, and it's like, well, I just am interested in general in stuff maybe this group is talking about. I don't want to have to be beholden to like 15 different channels to get a good feel for what's going on. I know. And that's how I feel. But then when I look at Slack, that's the way it is at work. I mean, each person, a bunch of different channels, but I feel like that's different than when I'm in like, it's different. It's work. Discord is not. And you can be part of many different Discords, and I feel it's like having to keep up with MeWe and if Google Plus was still around and Facebook and all these other things. It's like eventually you just settle on one, and Discord is just too much. Right, Rich?
Damn right. Did I tell you I posted a video on the Pi 4 and doing temperature tests with it?
So you have a Pi 4, right? Because nobody.
Yeah, I got a Pi 4. Yeah, I finally.
Well, why don't you talk about that? Because last week I don't think anybody. There was a discussion as to whether anybody had a Pi 4. Joe asked it at the end.
I thought Joel got one.
I have.
No, I don't have one.
I talked about some of the things that I had was having issues with.
Well, you have a Pi 4, right, Manfry?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you came on towards the end, didn't you?
Right.
Yeah. Prior to that, nobody had a Pi 4 yet. So, go ahead, Mr. Hughes.
So I kind of, you know, I booted Raspbian on it. One of the cool things is back in the day, I had the Droid Bionic, both my wife and I. So what that meant is we have micro HDMI to HDMI cables. So I actually can plug two monitors in. Although, of course, I don't have two monitors that have HDMI ports. So that's a problem. But what I did do is the guy from Explaining Computers did a test, like a prime number test.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically did his same test, slightly modified with a timestamp on the output, just so I don't have to time it myself, because I'm lazier than he is. And so in seven cycles on this prime number test, going to 250,000, without heat sinks in a fan, it overheated. You know, it hit thermal throttling. And with basically like a $5 heat sink and a $5 fan, you know, 40 millimeter fan, 5 volt, it would never hit 60 degrees Celsius. Thermal throttling happens at 80. So you don't have to blow big bucks or have some, you know, fancy pipe cooler blah 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 thing. Because somebody was marketing something like that, you would never need that with this test. So that's what I figured out right now. And just because I'm in Orlando and I left it at the Hughes Compound Southern Command, I just threw Pi-hole on it, and I set up my household for Pi-hole because I figure if I'm using it, and I just want to say Pi-hole three or four more times, if I use Pi-hole, I probably will pull down less data since I'm on a metered feed. And because I'm not downloading the commercial content crap. So Pi 4 all looks good. I'm kind of excited to do something with Docker. I'd love for VMware to release ESXi for it, because that would be freaking cool. But that's pretty much what I'm looking to do, is probably just set up a couple of Docker containers on it. Oh, I'll tell you also what I'm doing. So I do have the Pine Rock Pro and the Pines, is it Rock 64 Pro, Rock Pro? I can't figure out which comes first. So because I only have a 2 gigs of RAM on that one, I dropped a 7-port SATA card into it, and I have a bunch of drives hanging off that, and I'm running LVM, Logical Volume Manager, on it, and on the Odroid N2, I'm running Plex. So I was thinking about trying the LVM on the Raspberry Pi 4 and see how that works. You only have 2 USB ports, but I could put hubs onto it, you know, 2 USB 3 ports, and I could give that a shot. But I figured I'd see what else I can do with it. And if anybody else has any suggestions, go leave a comment on my video. And you can always find the video at flyingrich.com.
Speaking of explaining computers, dude, I liked his video on that. It was very good. But it's pretty much guarantees that even with the firmware fix, you still should do a fan. I mean, that's kind of what you said too, I think, right?
Well, so right now, I it's not my data center in a drawer anymore, in my data center in a cabinet. What I have is I just have a 100 millimeter fan hanging above, a couple inches above my Pi type devices. And so I put the Pi 4 in there. I put a heat sink on the CPU, on the Ethernet chip, the Ethernet controller, and the USB 3 controller.
and I just put it in there. So it's getting airflow. It's not doing any massive computing. So even if I didn't have, you know, chips and airflow, it would be okay. But what I did do is, so the 40 millimeter fan, the 5-volt 40 millimeter fan, just was annoyingly loud. Now, if you're in a loud environment, you'd never notice it. You know, if you have other things with fans spinning. But my office is nearly fanless, you know, as far as computer gear. So one thing with a 40 millimeter fan that's making too much noise is pretty damn annoying, or the vibration and the buzz. So what I did do is I ordered from AliExpress some 80 millimeter silent fans that run 5 volts. And I ordered a couple of them just because it was like pay one price for shipping. So whether I ordered one or if I ordered four, and they're only like $1.25 each, and it was like $2 for shipping. So I figured I'd order four, make it worth my while.
Where can I send some pictures to all of you guys on this? I can show you pictures of the case that I put around mine, which includes a
Pornhub. Upload it to Pornhub.
Definitely the first one to watch it.
Are you saying where do you send a link?
Yeah.
Are you in the IRC?
If you drop it into Mumble,
I'll copy, or one of us will copy it to IRC.
What I can do is I'll take a pictures and make a quick album out of it. But I'll show you what I did to put this one on, or to put a case on this one with a fan and a power switch. And let me do this real quick. I'll get right back.
Oh, and there are cool cases. If you go to Thingiverse and just type in Raspberry Pi 4, there's cool cases up there. And if you're the least bit creative, you can mod one of the Pi 3 cases. Because, so if you have a Pi 3 case, an STL file or whatever it may be, if you have the 3D case, who's screaming in the background?
I'm sorry, that must have been picked up from people upstairs.
Uh-huh.
I apologize.
So, if you have a Pi 3 case and you want to make it a Pi 4 case, you can download the Pi 4 object and use it as a cutter. You may have to blank out or like build up the walls on your Pi 3 case, then use the Pi 4 Pi 4 STL file as the cutter.
Mm-hmm. I got a nice one. I don't know what size the fan is, the hole for the fan is, but once I get a Pi 3, I have a case all ready to go. I just have to
Pi 4
get the Pi 4 here and the supply.
So I also posted the links in Amazon links for the power supply that I used and like the fans and the heat sink. Oh, I didn't post. I gotta post the power supply. That's what I didn't post. Mm-hmm. I knew there were three things.
And I'm toying with the idea of picking up a Micro Swiss all metal hot end for my CR10 Mini.
All metal. Wait, what's not metal on your hot end?
Well, technically, the way the default one is designed on that on the CR10 Mini is, there is basically the PTFE supposed to go all the way down to the nozzle. Okay, through the heat break and all that. So basically, the difference is that the instead of the heat, instead of, you know, you got the fins there, and then you got PTFE in the middle. Instead of the PTFE, you have a titanium heat break that's metal. So it's all metal all the way down to the bottom. Right now, I actually have kind of a workaround. There's a workaround. For basically industry, any of the CRs, it's Creality printers, most of them, that basically you print a little washer and a little guide for your printer, and there's like a, on Thingiverse, there's a zip file that has all of them in it for all the Creality printers. you cut a little piece of PTFE tube, and then you put that all the way down by the hot end where it's supposed to go, and then behind that you put a little 3D printed washer, and then you put in your standard fitting on top of that, and it's supposed to keep, basically the goal is to keep that PTFE tube all the way down by the hot end. Well, today I ran into a jam. I mean, it didn't actually stop printing, but basically I was getting extrusion issues. So
I hate when I get extrusion issues.
Yeah, it sucks.
A little bit of coffee usually helps that.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so I think the other one may fix that. I'm not 100% sure on that, but we'll see. I don't know. But I have one thing I did do in the last couple weeks. I did finally print some flexible filament on it, and it ran just fine.
How did the condom work?
It wasn't a condom. It was a case for my phone, so being a dick.
Sticking with what I'm good at.
Yeah, well, the only thing is that I got stringing issues all over the place.
So you got a hairy case?
A little bit. I actually got most of it off of there. I also took like a lighter and kind of melded most of it too. Most of the little thin filaments.
Does it look like you melted the thin filaments?
No, actually, it doesn't.
Does it end up looking like a 7-year-old put it together when you do that?
No, it doesn't look that bad. You know,
okay.
Looks like a porcupine that, you know, used the hairdryer on high.
Yeah, before I throw it back on, I'm probably gonna. I want to get one of those butane, you know, those kitchen blow torches. That's actually a trick I saw in a YouTube video on how to remove that, because no matter what settings I used with the TPU, I was getting that stringing. The stringing was just horrible.
And what were you adjusting, trying not to get the stringing?
Well, the problem is because...
Shouldn't that be retraction that you adjust?
Well, and with TPU, you typically don't... You want to have as little retraction as you want. And part of the problem is with the with printing TPU, the retraction can basically jam up the extruder because it's flexible. You know, so yep. As long as you're going in one direction, you're fine. So I put in as much as I was willing to try, and I haven't had haven't got a perfect. Well, if it doesn't have like the case had a cavity, you know, so basically you printed it from the back up, right? So the cavities were all that was. So if I'm printing something small like that doesn't have like a lot of parts that are sticking out onto the build platform or something like that, then I usually don't get the stringing. So it just depends on what you're printing on, how bad it is. And holy crap, mute yourself. There you go. So
what the hell was that?
I never had these problems with the mic picking up all this
everything.
There's a bunch of wrenches in the washing machine.
No, yeah, turn the freaking gain down.
That's a storm. Let me see what the heck. Like, why all of a sudden is it? It's just so damn loud. Is that better?
No, I still kind of hear it.
How about now? A little bit.
That's good.
Is that better?
Yeah. Fine.
All right.
Anywho, but
Dan, were you able to see that? That. Link?
Yes. I was waiting for a way to get back to it because I did have a question for you.
Oh, sure.
I noticed that the heat sink is not, like, the fan is not on a heat sink that's like over the processor or whatever.
No, it's blowing down on top of it.
Oh, it was blowing down on. I was wondering, and is that very effective?
It doesn't look like he has a heat sink.
Yeah, right. I didn't put a heatsink on this one. I didn't put a heatsink on it, and I probably could. Then I would probably want to reverse the fan and have it draw it away from it.
Right.
But
I have it blown down.
Yeah, it's. I think it's. I mean, I had it routinely at around 36 degrees.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't throttle.
That's pretty low.
Yeah. Now there is a overlay. Rich, are you familiar with the overlays? There is an overlay. Hold on. There is an overlay in there that will allow you to have it control the fan by the temperature on GPIO. But
I have done that.
Oh, you have? What am I missing? Because like I
no no I said I have not.
Oh okay. I think I need to rebuild the kernel, which I just didn't have time to do. I had been in and out, you know, so many places here these last couple of weeks. I was trying not to do that, but the button is actually driven by an overlay, the power switch. It was the power. You enable these overlays in the what is it? The boot config.txt file or something like that, and then you can say turn on a power switch or turn on a reset switch, right? Because I wanted a switch so that I didn't have to SSH into the damn thing to just kill it when I'm in my hotel room, right?
Oh, gotcha.
So I just found that I found these little switches and just connect to ports. I'm sorry, to GPIO 5 and 6. One of them is ground. I think 6 is the ground, and then it will trigger a clean shutdown, you know. And so then I just kind of wrapped it around the bottom things and wove it up above it and plugged it in, and it just kind of hangs up there, you know. It doesn't stick out or anything like that.
Oh, that's cool.
It works really well. It has been working, but there is some problem with how this is configured now. I'm not quite sure what it is. I got past the issue with host ABD. You more or less have to remove any reference to any drivers inside of the host APD configuration file, and then it seemed to work. I could connect to it. I could connect to it at home. When I connect it here at the hotel, it doesn't work. Like it'll connect, and then it'll take a long time before I see something come up on the Chromecast or whatever my phone connect to it. But then like it just dies, like the connection just dies. But when I'm at home, I can hook anything I want up to it, and it seems to be fine. I don't know what's going on, but I also can't SSH into the thing over the internal network port, like which basically would be the gateway port. I don't understand that. And even like a VNC into it, like I could do it at home, but again, when I get here, it's not working.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
There's another thing. There's another tool that you could use, and you could remotely connect to your Pi no matter where it is. I got to remember what it's called. But there's another tool for that.
Google has a remote VNC thing that if you have it running on both, you should be able to get into it from where you shouldn't have to go into it directly, right?
Right.
Right.
I'd have to see if I can get in there and set it up, but I have to. I left my stupid little keyboard for it on my daughter's desk where I had it hooked up. So I couldn't actually get into it and type on it this time.
Yeah, I try to bring a mini keyboard with me wherever I go. So if I have Pi devices.
It's always in my bag, and I for some reason took it out and forgot to put it back in.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. I'm not home, so I don't know anything about it at the moment. But my wife, she had Chromebook envy. So I've been rocking the Chromebook.
Whoa.
I got a 14-inch Chromebook I've had for like 2 years now, and I'm very happy with. She's, you know, been complaining about her Windows laptop, which, you know, we all can chime in on that. And I got a refurb Chromebook. It was a 15-inch Acer for $200 on Amazon. Had a touchscreen and backlit keyboard, which to me is the crack. And she didn't seem like it was crazy great, but she didn't say it stunk either. So I'm kind of excited to go home and check it out. Has anybody got refurb stuff from Amazon before?
Yes. I have not.
Yeah, I've bought refurb stuff.
And what is your experience with that stuff been?
Haven't had any issues with it so far.
My only problem. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, yeah. For $200, I'm kind of Jones. I if I had a touchscreen, a backlit keyboard, I'd be ecstatic.
Well, I mean, is that's probably one of the ones that can run Android, right? Or run Android apps, anyway.
So, Dan, what were you going to say?
I was going to say my experience with all the refurb stuff that we've gotten has held up just fine. It's been user abuse that has caused issues as opposed to, you know, and if it was a new device anyway, it was still like all the zip clips I had were all refurbs, and they by and large worked fine until I slammed them in a door,
put them in the washer,
until it did something bad to them. Like most of the stuff I've received that have been refurbed has worked just fine and lasted probably as equally as long as a non-refurb would have if I had taken a little better care with it.
Yeah, apparently it wasn't OEM packaging. I think she said it was like bubble wrap or so. You know, it just wasn't OEM, but I don't really care.
You know, I used to buy a lot of components on like eBay and stuff like that. I mean, it's not refurb, but it's definitely, gently used, right? I mean, but like I've had video cards that would last me like years. I've had, you know, all kinds of success with buying things that are secondhand in some form or another.
Yep. Well, I mean, I've got wasn't a refurb. It was a actual purchased off eBay, the PowerBook G4, and then it's what over 10 years old now, probably. It still works. I mean, I can't run much on it, but it works. So, and that kind of just gets under my skin a little bit when you talk about phones and other devices. You know, these things last, depending on what it is, it lasts a lot longer than things used to, but now you pretty much have to go buy new ones because of OS support, you know, if you want to stay secure and or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I guess. Because I'll tell you, I don't want to buy another $1,000 phone. I do like my Note 8, but I just don't want to pay another grand for a phone.
Yeah. I don't like the ID either, but then again, I don't want to buy it. See, part of my issue with buying like whatever the cheap phone is, like I probably could go when I do my next upgrade. I can probably get the hydrogen, the red hydrogen at Verizon, which is a Red's phone. But part of the problem is it's one or two releases of Android behind. The odds of Red actually bringing out an OS image to upgrade it. Slim to none, and that's one of the cheap phones I have. It's actually a really nice cheap phone. It's well built, but then like my son, we just bought him another phone, whether I wanted to or not. Got him a Samsung S10, the 5G version, which I have found is different than the standard 4G version. It's actually a little bit bigger than that one, so. Trying to find a case for it was fun. Well, trying to find a case for any Android phone that's not, at least I was able to find one for that. But like, if you try and buy like if you buy a, unless you buy the case with the phone, either at the store or via the Google store, if you just go to random store like Best Buy or whatnot to try and find a case for it, unless it's Samsung or iPhone, forget it. You're not finding a case. You know, I lucked out. They had exactly one design at Best Buy that I could pick up for Luke's phone. So because I'm not putting a $1,300 phone in a case, or not in a case. So
$1,300.
Yeah, I know.
Holy dude, that's more than most of the cars I've owned. That's more than all of the cars Dan owns.
But he keeps it for the whole 2 years, though. So I mean. Yeah, so I mean, it's not like
whoa.
He kills his phone.
All right, so you're saying paying $700 a year for a phone is okay then?
Rich, I really don't care what you think.
Okay.
Well, you know what? That is a good point, though. I mean, like, I look at the phones that I have had, and I'm like, I don't know. I would assume that buying a more expensive phone is going to give me a better experience, by and large.
Depends. I mean, yeah, it depends. Yeah. You know, I mean,
but I mean, well, at what okay, point do I I've, say, you know, hey, it's a good enough experience when I have a mobile device like this that I'm carrying around in my pocket and it gets bumped around? Like, if it's $150, $200 and I break the screen or it's, mm-hmm, or it's whatever, mm-hmm, it's like, oh man, that
cost
really
me $280 to fix my broken screen.
Yeah, but if it's $1,300 and I crack the screen, I'm going to be feeling a lot more pain. Is what I like. So I'm wondering, like, where do you draw the line? It's a tough one.
I'll tell you what my bitch. Here's what I'm ticked about on Android phones. I would consider, and tell me if I'm wrong, that the Note and the, you know, the Galaxy S10 and the Note are the top end Android phones. But the problem is, you're always one or two OS versions behind with these damn things.
Don't buy Samsung.
Not Samsung. No.
You want the latest? You want the always up to date software? Go Pixel.
Right. I agree with that. But I will say this. My last two phones had the Motorola Z Force and my Pixel 2 XL, which, you know, I'm getting ready. Probably within another few months, I'm going to swap phones myself, right? But both of them, up until this year, my Z Force was actually getting monthly security patches, which ultimately, that's all I really care about on older devices is the security patches. You know, yeah, so what if I don't get Pi? I don't care about that. You know, at least on an older device. And I actually still have it. And that's kind of the nice thing with the way Verizon has their phone plan, like their phone purchasing deals now, is that when you pay off your old device, like if you pay off your old device or if you've gone through and paid all the payments, you get to keep it.
So I think their current stipulation is that you need to support security updates for 2 years now, where I think before it was 18 months and they've upped it. So if I don't know how old that phone actually is, Joel, before you got it, but it if you probably just came right up on that 2 year mark, I'm assuming.
On the Z Force, yes.
Yes.
I mean, it was either actually that one's probably it's probably close to. It's over 2 years. It was a little bit old when I got it. You know, it was current, you know, when I got it, but you know,
maybe they're even longer then.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to look and see. Verizon has a page, but Verizon has been very good with security updates. The last two phones I've had, I have not had a problem. I get the monthly Android Pixel updates on schedule. I do not have to wait any longer than anybody else.
Yeah, same here. And I think you're getting the success with Verizon because of how they've isolated the portions of the OS that are vendor or that are carrier specific from vendor specific from core Android, right? So more and more of that stuff is moving to a place that is in the core that they can update over like a Google Play Services update or just in the Play Store itself, whereas the amount that the carriers and the handset manufacturers need to or have access to update is much smaller.
Right. They're looking at whatever they have to update. It's probably just what covers their radios and stuff. But now. The key thing here, though, with my son's phone, though, is why did I buy 5G? Because we don't even have 5G in our area yet. Well, I figured it's going to come out. I actually talked to the Verizon rep. We should have 5G wireless before the end of the year. That's what they're saying anyway. But so my hope is that by the time it actually does come out, that they drop the extra – it's like a $10 extra charge per month. But speeds I've been hearing have been easily one, like a double to slightly higher than double the existing 4G speeds. So I'm kind of excited about that, but, you know, but I figured with Luke, he's probably going to keep it until it dies, and that's kind of what happened with his was paid off, has been paid off for about 6 months now, and the probably for at least a year, his USB-C port has been not working, so he's been using a wireless charger to keep it charged. So, but we all know how fast those things are, which they're not fast at all to charge. But and that's the question here, though, I would have for you guys is, do you really, when you buy a new phone, is wireless charging something you actually give a crap about?
Dude, I love it. And I'm not sure what chargers you're using, but I'm really fast charging out of the wireless chargers.
What do you have now, Samsung?
No, Pixel. Pixel 3. And I did get a Pixel 3 stand for wireless? It, and I want to get more of them. What's that?
The Pixel 3 has wireless? I didn't know that.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, that's when they announced that Pixel stand, which it basically turns it into like a small Google Home hub. Like it, yep. With the way the pictures come up and everything is like kind of in your face when you interact with the assistant and stuff like that.
Now, the one thing I'm glad is the images I've been seeing going around for the Pixel 4. I'm glad that the Pixel 4 doesn't have a freaking notch. Just because, and not because I really cared about the notch that much. It's just that I just think it's poor design myself. I actually don't mind bezels. I'm like, give me a bezel to hold on to.
Well, you're in luck then, because this one has a bezel at the top.
Yep. That's what? Fine.
What do you need for the wireless charging?
Key charging.
It's got to be a plastic body for one, I believe, or glass body.
No. I mean, what do you need? Like, is it like a pad that you put it on, or something that you put it next to?
They have all different form factors. Like, there are docks. Like, you could just drop it in, so it's upright for you all the time. That's what the Pixel stand is like. I have a travel size one that I would use. I haven't used it with this one, but it's like a little puck that you could just lay there, and then you could lay a watch on it. You could lay the phone on it, whatever, right? But they come in different form. Like, a lot of tables at like Starbucks, right? Isn't that right? Yeah, and in cars they have like a built-in pad in a lot of the tables. You just lay it on the table and it will start charging it. I think IKEA makes one too, if I'm not mistaken.
They do.
But I believe that there's almost like a quick charge kind of version 2 or 3 or something like that, that for wireless charging that makes it charge really quickly when you have it on there.
So my only concern about the wireless charging is, like, right now I have a hard enough time keeping USB cords, and that's just like a little thing that you plug into, like keeping track of those and them not being ripped up and torn apart and thrown all over the house and then come and steal mine again. You know, so I'm like, ooh, it sounds interesting, but at the same time, like, USB cords, like, you get 13 of them or something for like $6. And
where the hell are you getting them for that? That's the cheap ass ones then, dude.
You know what? Why am I going to pay to like $20 for a USB cord that someone else is just going to take and then
steal,
lose,
in your case?
And then I have to get another one? So I'm just like, hey, if I have to replace the USB cords every 3 to 6 months, I'd rather just get the cheap junk ones and do it, because either way I go, I'm either replacing the cheap junk ones or I'm replacing the expensive ones.
You know, though, Anchor makes, I feel like, the best quality ones out there today.
Agreed.
They're braided, they're strong and durable, the ends don't
power line
at all. What's that, Joel?
Anchor Powerline Plus. I swear by those.
Yep, me too.
You know what? I think we have one of those. And the reason why I think we have one of those is because I've seen one, but again, I don't know where it went to. Like, occasionally I see it pop up. Maybe it's in a car somewhere, or it's under somebody's bed. And I'm like, you know,
You should see how I've wired my car with them so that my kids can plug their phones into it and whatnot. Like, they snake around things and they're all tied up and whatnot. And so each kid has a spot where they can plug into. And then also up in the front, like one snakes over into like the passenger seat if like both me and my wife are in the car and stuff like that.
That's one thing I'm looking forward to when I finally replace. Not that I'm ready to do it, but when I replace my Traverse, probably either with another Traverse or something similar. Like when my air conditioning was getting fixed last week in my Traverse, they gave me a 2019 Traverse as a loaner. That thing, the each side, in the back seat. If you sit in the third row, there's USB ports back there for each side. There's two, like, at least two to three in the middle. There's two up front. They're everywhere. In fact, actually, up front, you've got two down below, down by the gear shifter, and then you have one in the there's like a compartment behind the display where you basically can put your phone in there. You can plug it in there if your phone fits. Mine doesn't. But you can plug it in there and then have your Android Auto up on the screen in the car, and it was fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, they need to do that in every car, in back seats and whatnot, and they should just do it all right to USB-C, like, because everything is going to be USB-C here in short order anyway, right?
If you're
an iPhone user, there are USB-C to Lightning connectors or whatever that cable is, like that you can get and use for that. It should just be USB-C everywhere. And
it wouldn't surprise me if the next iPhone actually was USB-C, because the iPad Pro's already moved over to it.
But don't they have to sell it a standard one over in Europe? I thought there was a standard connector that they had to use across all phones so that they allowed OEMs to compete with the manufacturers, etc. Right? There was a law passed over there.
Yeah, and I think Apple gets around it by just throwing an adapter in a box. So I think that's how they get around it.
But they should just be C everywhere, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm actually happy with it. Well, the only way I'm not happy with A is that A charges everything slow as hell. USB-C, if it's just straight up USB-C, no matter where it's at, it works fine. Like, I have a RAV Power charge bank that has USB-C on it. In fact, I just realized... I've had it for well over a year, probably close to 2 years at least, and I just noticed that you can actually charge. I initially thought when I bought it that I read in the manual it came with it that it said you couldn't charge it off the USB-C, but it actually charges just fine off the USB-C, which is fantastic because it charges much faster than off the micro. So,
you know what? I just bought an Anker one before we went to Disney. And this was a big sucker, right? I was charging everybody's phones for days, and it still had like four bars like on the wow. Four dots lit up, right? But when you charge it, it came with micro USB ports, but two of them, and so you can plug two of them in and charge it up. Like, I was like, this thing is crazy, right? It weighs a ton, but man, was it? It was like I didn't have to charge it. I think I charged it one time the whole time I was down there.
Right.
Right. And we just used it the entire time when we were out if we needed to charge any phones.
I do have – I have an Anker one that's – I think it's a 20,000 milliamp hour one that has three USB ports, standard USB ports, but it also has a two micro USB port. But I do need to pick up another one with USB-C. I'd love it. I mean, keep a USB-A on there. That would be fine. I'm fine with that because that works great for, like, if you need to recharge a headset or something like that. But I would love one that just has about three or four USB-C ports on it. You know, that's the way. I mean, that's the USB-C is the future for this stuff, and that's where it needs to go.
Yeah, I've even picked up now, like the cigarette adapters for the cars, like for that has it, like I travel with it in my bag because I get in a lot of cars where I don't necessarily have access. Some of them have wires, some of them don't, or they just have iPhone or whatever. So I have one with me that I travel with, and it's got USB-C built right into it as well as a regular legacy one, right? So that you can you know, do two things at a time, and one is the really, you know, nice, high, fast with the IQ technology and all that stuff.
And that's the one thing that I am very critical of. I bought a Surface Pro 6, and even when Microsoft brought it out, USB-C was a thing in laptops, but they don't have it on this. I can buy a battery bank that actually has a Surface Pro connector cable that comes with it. Haven't yet, but it's going to charge everything from phones to tablets to laptops. USB-C is the universal thing. It really is. And I think even Apple's going to move away from Lightning, because who plugs crap into their... I mean, I remember when the 30-pin connector was a big deal, and how many friends of mine that were iDevice fans that bought all this crap, docks and crap that you plug your phone into so that you can listen to music. Nobody does that anymore. They always use Bluetooth now. I mean, so you either, like in my case, I can either do Bluetooth or I can do Chromecast in my whole entire house. I have one in my office, one in my bedroom, and one, I have my Google Home Hub in the kitchen. And it's basically like Sonos, but better.
And a hell of a lot cheaper.
You got that right. I think all the Home Minis I bought, which are the main ones I have. I'm tempted to buy the Max, but I'm just not so sure. I'd actually love it if they would just sell a little puck that has a standard audio out that you can plug it into any stereo or something. That would be awesome. But for now, I just, you know, whenever I need one sound in another room, I just buy either another mini, or I've never bought the full size one yet.
Well, that's what I had originally, but the mini, I think they're looking possibly at a refresh of the minis this year, possibly with a audio out on them, which would be nice.
Yes, that would be fantastic, because I love it. And I don't care that they listen to me. You know, I know how it really works, and it doesn't bother me all that much. I know a lot of people do, but it doesn't bother me.
Oh, hey guys, I actually got to run so I can call the family before the kids go to bed. They just got back from a second vacation with my parents. So, and lucky I have not kids. Talked to them in a couple of days. So,
have a good have night, a good man. Friend.
Hey, I will talk to y'all later.
See you, sir.
Yeah.
I'd like to buy, Anchor sells an even bigger, like a really huge pack that I'd love to buy for when I go on this camping trip, but I don't think that's happening.
Wait, a huge pack of what?
Just a huge battery pack that they have. Oh. They have one that's like 100,000 milliamp hour, I think.
How much is that, Ron?
See, that's the thing. That's a little bit. I think that's a little. I think that's over 100. I think.
Oh. You could do it, Joel. You're gonna need that power.
Of course,
right?
I can. But
is it solar charging?
Solar charging. I bought one of those off of Wish. They had a solar charging battery bank. That thing takes forever, and it's just because it's got a cheap solar cell on it.
Oh. I mean, is it good in a pinch, or is it just not worth it?
Yeah, well, you know, if you're in a lot of sun, it probably, you know, it's a good in a pinch, I think. But it's not going to charge. I mean, what would be better is they do have those panels, which are a whole lot larger than this panel that's on the back of this little battery that I bought.
Uh-huh.
Those would probably charge stuff a lot faster, but because there's just more surface area. No, this one thing I'm trying to remember what I'll see if I can find it. But this really big one they have. Not only does it have USB-C USB ports on it, but it also has I believe it also has a 12 volt out on it, like a cigarette lighter adapter. Like a car has. The Anchor Power Station.
Yeah, those are good. And Anchor in general is good. I like their batteries.
Yes, the Anchor Powerhouse has an AC, it has an AC inverter built into it, four USB ports, a 12 volt out, and I'm trying to see. And I was wrong. It's like $500. Trying to see what the capacity is. Oh crap! It's 434 watt hours.
So what, do you got to charge it like once a week?
Probably. The only thing with stuff like this is it's going to be heavy. That's a guarantee.
Hey, you guys watch that show on Amazon Prime, The Boys? It's basically it's basically a take on superheroes, but they're like asshole athletes. They're a bunch of shitheads who are greedy and they're into drugs and sex and all that crap. It's an interesting take.
I can't watch it because I've read the comic book. And I know how violent it is, and I gotta wait until, like, I think the kids go back to school. Yes. And the wife's not around to watch it.
It's rated R. It's pretty strong stuff. There's a lot of sexual stuff. It's very violent.
Here's something cool about that powerhouse, Pat. You can actually run a CPAP off of it. One of the people who reviewed it on their website said it ran their CPAP for 8 to 9 hours and only used a quarter of the capacity.
There you go. Go camping with it.
Now, I will say this. The site I have up at Kelly's Island has it has standard hookups, electric hookups. So now I do have, I hope it's got to be floating around my office here, because my wife, whenever she cleans house, she just dumps crap in my office. So my office is like a wreck right now again. But I did buy the adapter that will take the standard, RVs have 50 amp, 30 amp, 50 amp or 30 amp. So this goes the 30 amp down to standard 110, standard household current. So I'm going to throw that in my bag with me. I don't know if I'll need it. Because I called the park, and they said that it had a standard AC out of the pole. And if that's the case, I'm good. I just throw my extension cord in the power strip, and that's great. And I'm hoping my tent. I haven't opened my new tent up yet. I probably will do it when I get there for the first time, because I'm brave. but I do know that it has like a vent in the main room. And I'm hoping that that vent is open enough that I can sneak the extension cord into that vent. So, but I still have to buy some things for that trip. I have to go out to my garage and see how much of my camping gear I still have. I may have gotten rid of a lot because I didn't think we're going to ever do it again. But I know I need new sleeping bags, and I want to get a mattress. But that's going to be one of the first things I don't buy if that's going to, because things are going to start to add up. Because I think we want to do this. We want to kind of, the only reason I'm going to invest in this kind of gear right now is I kind of want to do this on a yearly basis. Go camping once or twice a summer. And this year it'll only be once, but I'd like to go do it up at Kelly's, and then Ohio just has so many state parks, and they're just great. I mean, you just you go there, they have fishing and do a campfire, whatever. It's great to get away from people.
Do you have a fishing license?
I do have a fishing license.
Excellent. Yep. You're all ready to go.
In fact, I went fishing a few weeks ago down at near Circleville. There's a little tiny lake called Hargis Lake.
Okay.
One nice thing about this lake is that they do not allow the only kind of motor you can have on your boat is an electric motor. You cannot have a gas engine on it. Not exactly sure why that is, but that's just their rule. So you're only electric motors there. They have a nice little fishing dock that's where we went fishing. And I took Luke. I actually want to get Luke a new pole before we go, because he has this little pole that he got when he sold popcorn for Cub Scouts years ago.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those ultra portable ones. Okay. So it breaks down quite a bit. And then it also has an open face reel on it. But if you're not used to that, it's kind of a pain in the ass to cast, you know? Because his now I have an open face reel in mine too, but I have a Shimano Quick Shot built into my reel. Basically, what it is a little black piece. It's on one side of the bale. So you just reach down. Reach down to grab the line, you just pull that little black switch up as you do that. So it makes it really easy to cast an open face reel. So, and I do kind of prefer those, just because that's, you get a tangle or something, at least you can see it, versus the closed face reels like a Zebco 33 or something like that. Yeah, I actually know something about fishing.
I can't stand those, man, because they inevitably end up in a rat's nest.
Yep, you got to tear it apart anyway. So
yeah.
I do have. I haven't actually used it yet, but I actually need to go get a piece for it. But I 3D printed a. It's basically a thing that is made to help you take all the line off your reel. So I just need to buy a bolt long enough to go through the holes. And you basically what happens is you chuck it up in your drill, open a bale on your reel, mm-hmm. and then you just tie the end of the line onto this thingy, and then you just turn the drill on real slow. At first, I guess you probably can go pretty fast too, but basically when you get all the line off the reel, then you just take it out of the drill, and the one piece comes off, and you can just slide that mess into a garbage can when you're done.
It's like the reverse of putting it on there.
Kind of, sort of, the same way. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could use a drill or a dowel when you're putting line on, but I should probably build like a clamp or something.
Usually you put the spool, and you buy a fishing line comes on a spool, so you put the spool down, and you put the spool onto the reel that way. Mm-hmm. Like you wind it, you reel it on there, and it comes off the spool. I was just saying, it's like the reverse, because instead of you reeling it in, reeling it to get the line onto it, you're spinning a
reeling
spool
off,
outside,
right.
Just pulling it off like it was pulling off the spool originally. So yeah, that's a nice idea.
And then one thing, when I go camping, they always have picnic tables at the sites. And because picnic, you never know what the surface of that picnic table looks like. I'm gonna get a tablecloth. Well, the one bad thing with camping is there's this thing called wind. So I engineered this clamp, beefy clamp actually. I just got print two more of them, and basically one in each corner. That tablecloth ain't going nowhere. And I probably could have bought something similar, but you know what? This is over-engineered, and it's going to work.
Yeah, but you know what? You got the printer, man. You got to use it. Use it for something practical, right?
And that's actually, I highly prefer Practical Prince versus Dust Collectors. Like, there's so many guys in the Creality group that will print off a big old statue of, like, Deadpool or Iron Man or whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be a comic book character. A lot of times it is, though. And it's just like, I'm like, why? You know, I mean, I guess if you're got into that, you know, if you're a kind of guy like my dad was a modeler, you know, that's fine. You know, you can do that. But then, and I can do that too. And I'm not that talented at painting things, but I can paint it so it looks good enough. But I just think of, great, when I print this model of the Starship Enterprise and paint it, what? Everybody needs a Deadpool knife block, like at Joe Jonas. Anyway, but it's like, what am I gonna do with it? Where am I gonna put it? So I much prefer making functional prints versus and print things that I can use all the time than I do dust collectors.
As I get older, Joel, I agree 100% with you. I'm like,
yep.
What am I gonna do with this Deadpool bust that I bought like 10 years ago and I don't have anywhere? Or what would I do with a Deadpool statue that I printed?
But every time I go on a photo shoot, I pull out my custom made, and I actually did make a custom one. I basically Infusion 360 engineered my own SD card holder that holds both standard SD cards and micro SD cards in one holder. Doesn't look like my other one did. And, when I pull that out, I pull that out every time when I go to swap an SD card and pop it in there. It's just, that's something I get use out of versus buying, you know, it's something that probably wouldn't cost all that much if I bought it, but, I printed it for cents, you know. And I use it all the freaking time. So, you know, I printed like a, now this one I didn't engineer, but like my Surface Pro power cable, I went on Thingiverse, found this little thing, and basically prints and goes around the power brick part of that. And then it has these slots where you can wrap the cable around in those slots and keep all the cords together. So, and I printed off a toothbrush holder, you know, for when I travel. So I just grab that. You know, the toothbrush, you know, it can be wet. It ain't gonna let it make everything else in my bag wet, and things like that. And that's the kind of crap I love about 3D printing.
All right, Joe, I got a question for you. I am dropping an image in the IRC from this website. Do you recognize that person?
I do not.
Because I think I've seen that person at some Linux Fest. And I don't know if it was at Ohio Linux Fest or Southeast Linux Fest or both.
How many?
So he looks familiar, and the reason why I sent that, his name is Matthew Spiegelmeyer, and he has a company called Inspired Divisions. So it's Inspired Visions. It's not Inspired Division, it's inspiredvision.biz. It was posted to our MeWe group, the Linux Link Tech Show MeWe group. And it's called Central by Inspired Vision, the best Linux operating system for small business. Now, I had never heard of Central before, right? So I don't know anything other than what's on the website here and what it looks like is there's kind of two products. One is a Linux distribution built around a GNOME 3
that I'm assuming is customized particularly for small business and maybe being mobile with small business, both desktop and possibly server. They have a USB stick that is their like desktop environment on the go. And I mean, I get what the company is doing. It's just I've never heard of them before. And I don't recall seeing many other companies that are kind of trying to make a business around providing a business desktop environment in this fashion. Like, I could be wrong. Maybe there are, but I've never seen it before, to the best of my knowledge. My biggest thing that when I originally looked at this, I was like, you know, what is this running? You know, there's no kind of like developer area or support area. I was like, well, wait a minute, this is Linux. The sources have to be available and it has to like have posting of the license. And I didn't see any of that information on the website, although there is a terms of use section that I just clicked on a little while ago, and it does have the GPL in there, version GNU Public License version 3. The lesser GNU Public License was in there. So I do see that. I would not have thought originally under terms of use, but it's there. So I don't know. It's just some.
Good luck to him. Yeah. He's going to be fighting a hard road.
I thought I recognized this Matthew from a Linux Fest or something, but I don't know. I could be wrong. But interesting. Now, if you want to, like, again, I don't know where the sources are probably available once you purchase either one of these. I think, like, the USB is, like, $33 or something, but you can download the software, purchase download, and that's, like, $30, so yeah, I don't know. You're really saving much if you just did the download as opposed to USB. That's it. Something to check out. What else, Joel? You finished watching season 2 of Star Trek, I saw. Discovery. Yeah.
This must be the thing nowadays with series. After I finished watching it, I thought it could end right there and it would have been just fine. You know?
Uh-huh.
Now I do see there Greenleaf for season 3, and I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't want to, if you haven't seen it all yet, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But when I finished watching it, I thought, how in the world are they going to get another season out of it?
So I'm curious, did they kind of like finish season 2 before they knew they were greenlit for a season 3? And kind of like, well, if this is where it's going to end?
Most assuredly, I think.
Okay.
So, I mean, because then that means potentially they'll have two Star Trek series at the same time, and that kind of didn't really work all that well for the Next Generation and Deep Space Nine. At least that's how I found it anyway. Now, granted, Picard, just like Discovery, is also only on CBS All Access, so.
See, now, that's a good point, Joel. Think about that for a second, right? Like, I know one of the things that I've been complaining about is as we look towards the future of streaming services, that we're getting too many isolated pools of services where like CBS, ABC, Fox, whatever, is taking their stuff and going to their own networks with Disney and everything, doing their own thing. And you got to have a separate service for it, right? And that kind of sucks. But at the same time, is if your little service is attracting people because of Star Trek Discovery, would it not make sense to make more Star Trek shows to keep those people subscribed to your service? Did you die, Joel?
Nah, sorry, I had to go potty.
Well, you missed exactly what I said.
No, I heard it all. I'm wireless.
It gets to the point where you might as well just fucking turn the cable box back on.
Yeah, well, it's either turn the cable box back on or makes, what is it, CBS Access Online, the Star Trek streaming network.
Well, and the nice thing with CBS All Access is they do have different levels. Like, I think I had the $6 a month one. I mean, the only difference between that one and the one higher, which I think is like $10 a month, is I think I get ads. I don't fucking care.
Right, but what I'm saying, Joel, is like before when you said, well, two Star Trek shows on one network, you know, they fight for whatever, you know, viewership and stuff like that. They're in a lot of competition. But I'm like, at this point, if you're subscribing to CBS for Star Trek, why wouldn't you want another one?
That's really actually a really good point. You know, it really can't be compared to the way it was back when Star Trek DS9 and TNG were out at the same time. You know, really, you really can't compare it because it's completely different. Because you can basically now what I don't get is like with the CBS, any of the CBS All Access shows, they trickle them out one at a fucking time. You know, that's kind of what I like a little bit better about the Netflix series. Not that I've watched, there's not that many of them that I've watched, but the ones that I have watched on Netflix, they just release them all at one time, and you can binge watch them. So I usually end up.
CBS Star Trek gets like released on a weekly basis.
Yep.
Oh, that's weird.
Yep.
Do they not understand the streaming model?
I guess not. I don't know. Well, it makes me wonder how they're going to do the Orville next year, because next year the Orville's on Hulu, not on Fox. I think the main reason they did that is because Seth can't have the shows ready when Fox needs them.
Oh, you know what? I know why they do it, Joel. It makes perfect sense why they do it that way. Because they don't have that much content, do they?
For the Orville or Hulu?
For the channel. For like CBS All Access.
For the CBS, oh no, they have everything. Like I could go watch Big Brother. Actually, let's talk about Big Brother. Big Brother, you know, I don't know if you've watched the show at all, but basically it's shown what's going on in the house where all these famous people are living together. Yeah,
I know someone who was on one of them.
Right. But they've actually made it so that you can in real time watch the cameras in the Big Brother house.
Ugh, who gives a fuck?
That's I certainly don't, but you know, but somebody who really likes Big Brother probably does. It's like these people, like I have some friends that they posted on Facebook. They're treating watching these. Now, granted, I'm not saying it's not important, but it really isn't that important, but. The Democratic debates, they're acting like these are the big TV show, like the Grammy Awards or something like that, and posting this stuff on Facebook. I'm like, you're not going to know anything new about any of these candidates watching these stupid debates. At least not in any of those. But I can't get excited about crap like that. I just can't. I can't get excited about award shows or a lot of things that some people watch. You know, I don't really like there's these live streams on YouTube that I usually really, pretty much I listen to them every day. Sometimes I listen to them when they're actually doing the show and streaming the show. 9 times out of 10, I wait till they're finished with the show, and I start from the beginning, and I watch it at my own pace. Yeah, because I don't want to have to stay up till 2 in the morning because some of these guys do record till then. But, you know, it's same thing goes with TV. I don't want to have to be at the TV at a certain time for most things at TV I watch on TV. Which is why 9 times out of 10, with the Star Trek Discovery, I basically didn't even really pay attention to it until the whole run was over, and then I can just binge watch it. Message to CBS All Access: bring all the shit out at once.
Well, there you go. One thing before we go, well, two things. 5150 wanted to say something about Kansas Linux Fest.
Oh boy.
So go ahead, 5150, fire it away.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Yeah, I just wanted to jump in to a podcast a little more listenership than ones I'm usually associated with. Not that's criticizing on those shows, but I figure about everybody listens to our podcast is going to listen to Tilts. So Kansas Linux Fest, sent out reminders a couple months ago when I found out we were actually going to have it, and got close and I looked at, oh man, that's 2 weeks. So it's the weekend of August 9th. Evening of August 9th and then the 10th and the 11th, in Wichita, Kansas, of course, again on the Wichita State University campus. The webpage not as complete as I would hope it to be at this point. There's not really a schedule up, but if you click on the schedule on the menu, you can at least see the topics. Though not saying where when they're going to be. And I'll read a couple of those because you can go to the website. It's KansasLinuxFest.org and click on that. But I saw a lot of interesting stuff. I hope there's not, I don't know if there's topics as we would usually have, but I wasn't involved in planning this year at all. But busting security myths, care and feeding of MySQL, building your own NAS, Bibisco. I was going to look up what the heck that was. And
it's an organizational tool.
Getting started with open source. Nice. So there's some, obviously, I think there's going to be some things on here that are more enterprise, but a lot of the stuff I think everybody can use. Open source rules of engagement, OpenStreetMap. I know that's dear and dear to Joel.
When I looked on here and it said CF engine, I thought that was Cold Fusion engine, and it was like, I'm like, whoa, was Rich going to that? He didn't say anything, but no, it's not. It's a CF engine is a configuration management tool. And Nick Anderson's doing the presentation. It has nothing to do with Cold Fusion. Sorry, 50.
Oh, not at all. Anytime you can add some light to this, because I didn't do my too diligent research. So I know it's a bit late if anybody's going to try to fly in, but mainly trying to reach the people who, you know, are Western Kansas, Eastern Missouri, you know, the people who could come in on a day and for this. I was going to mention something about at least this. Because it's mainly a local fest, they don't really get involved with getting a block of rooms or whatever, because really the majority of the people coming to this are from local enough area that they can go home at night. I actually can. I'm only about an hour out. I prefer not to, so that I can use an excuse to, well, participate in the partying, if whatever there is, and that's it. So far, they haven't posted anything on evening except for Friday night. They usually do a screening of an open source related movie on campus, and they've already done Revolution OS and The Internet's Best Boy. I don't know what else, unless they're going to repeat, I don't know what else is out there. I'm sure they're thinking of something, but they haven't said what movie is going to be. Unfortunately, in Wichita, there are no accommodations anywhere close to Wichita State University, at least not within walking distance. Surprisingly, for a college campus, I don't even think there's any place to go get a beer. During the day, before, they've always had food trucks come in. There is like a Hardee's or something fast food open in the summertime on campus. What I do coming in from out of town, and this is just me, there is an artificial taxpayer created, built up entertainment area called Old Town, about in the center of the city. And I get a hotel down there, so that, because you know, whatever they do, it doesn't go till the end of the evening. Saturday they've always had get together, like a post party, even though there's stuff on Sunday, at a local bar called Headshots, which has arcade games and coin op and all that kind of stuff free to play. So no mention on that on the website yet. So may not know till I get there what if anything they have set up. So in other words, at past a certain point in the evening, you're on your own for entertainment. And if that trends towards going and getting a beer, there's a lot of places in Old Town, well, at least three that are their own brewery. If you like craft beer, a lot of restaurants down there. Well, not a lot, a half a dozen probably, that, you know, got good food and, have national craft beers. So that's just a good central area if you wanted to get a room, you know, so that you could walk to everything and walk back. My first year down there, I did have some trouble. I was down there, and for some reason, where everything closed at 3 in the morning, you could not get an Uber or a cab anywhere. And I did like the $70 hotel option at like a Ramada or whatever, which you can do. I mean, you get a $50 hotel probably now. In which I don't necessarily recommend it, but it is Kansas. You know, you're not likely to get stabbed at a $50 hotel. That's a joke. But
will there be hair on the
table? You know, if you did stuff like that, then you're...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was joking. I said, would there be a pube on the toilet?
Well, like I said, there's, you know, but where I'm staying is called the Old Town Hotel, and even just booking Monday, I could get rooms for $140 a day, which is comparable, you know, even to a discounted room, and you know, you usually when you go to a conference, the next closest one down there is the Marriott. And it was like $245, so you know, I didn't even think about that. I've been at the old town hotel before. I was hoping to try something different, but the difference was so much. And then I was really thinking, oh yeah, there's half a dozen hotels down there that are convention level, and there are, but that Google Maps shows them all greater walking distance. You know, more like 20 minutes, you know, as opposed to five. to get back to your room walking. So, you know, and I didn't figure there's any way I was going to get a room at this, you know, this late a date any cheaper than $140 a night.
So is Old Town down on Old Town Road?
It's more central.
Wait, are you going to ride till you can't ride no more?
Like I said, it's nowhere near campus, but it's near places that if you want to go out and get a beer or if you want to go watch a movie, you can.
Awesome. So that's August 9th to 11th in Wichita, right. Kansas, at Wichita State University.
And like I said, there's not much on the 9th except screening that movie. But if you're kind of, you know, if you're coming in from out of town, I would say get a room if you're far enough away to need a room, you know, I'd come in on the 9th. So you don't miss the first sessions in the morning, which I assume we're going to start around 9 o'clock.
Right. All right. So yeah, that's great. We got to wrap things up, 50.
Okay. Thanks for letting me jump in.
Hey, thanks for letting us inform us about Kansas City, yep. Kansas Lynx Fest, and then please come back on after and let us know how it went.
That reminds me, I need to ping Jeremy yet.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to get him back on.
So just a little note: I will not be here next week. So somebody record the show or something.
Guns and Lynx Radio. No, I'm kidding.
I'll send an email.
I'll keep the animal out. I'll keep the animals in check.
Yeah, in check. All right. So this is the last show for July. It's the last day in July. Wow.
Now I have to go to the grocery store to go get dog food. Poor girl needs some food.
Well, that's Kroger, right?
Or it could be Walmart. I don't know. I ain't made my mind up. Although I might go all the way over to Meijer just because they happen to carry my favorite coffee creamer. But I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
And I already went to the gym twice this week, so meh.
Well, there you go. I'm going to play us out. You have a great week. We'll see you. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Have fun and happy. Here are your promos. Take it away, Clat 2.
Oh my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Jack Attack Podcast, where chic,
oh dear,
meets geek.
Ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros.
Powered by Linux.
Linux.
You are fun. Recorded in Windsor, Nova Scotia, with your hosts, John Watson and Kelly Penguin Girl.
A girl?
A girl.
A girl?
It's the Jack Attack. That's the JAKattack.com. Time well wasted.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com. And if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yes, sir.
That was a delicious show. Oh.
A little bit of everything there.
What you have for dinner tonight?
Chicken and green beans.
Kind of chicken?
That's fried chicken. My wife picked it up at the store. Yeah. I didn't feel like cooking. And
wait, what was it? Was it Kroger or Walmart?
It is Kroger.
Oh, well, there you go. How you like the fried chicken?
It's okay. I don't mind fried chicken. It's not that they disgust me. I just don't like the bones. If I'm eating some fried chicken, I'd rather have like chicken fingers instead.
I love me fried chicken.
I might have to try the fried okra over at Way Down Yonder.
Well, there you go. You have some for Rich too.
Right. No, I have a hot dog for him because he won't eat those.
Ah, there you go. All right, say goodnight, Joel. I'm going to stop the recording.
Goodnight, Joel.
Yeah, too many, huh?
What's happening?
How you doing, sir?
Can't complain.
Right. What do you say, Joel?
Not a whole lot.
Arr! How's Kroger doing?
No clue.
Wait, don't you live like right next to Kroger?
Nah, less than 5 minutes.
Oh, I thought it was like right in your, like right behind where you live, that you could actually walk to it.
Oh, yeah, I could.
Oh, okay. Jay Gatsby in the IRC says, showtime.
Oh, I'm back.
And all I could think of when he's saying showtime was Showtime Pizza.
What's a Showtime Pizza?
You know what Chuck E. Cheese is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was just what Showtime Pizza was before Chuck E. Cheese. In the area that I grew up, I can't remember which one came first.
So, is that where you had kids' birthday parties?
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, Showtime Pizza was bought up by Chuck E. Cheese at some point. Oh, yeah, Showbiz Pizza. I'm sorry. You know, Showbiz. So, you know what? There was a place, and Pat, you probably didn't know. Well, you grew up in Long Island, right?
No, I'm from Staten Island.
Staten Island, yeah. So you wouldn't know this. I was gonna say, there was a.
It's some island, right?
Yeah, some island. There was an Italian restaurant, a pizza restaurant. That I think was a combo Italian / Mexican, was called Poncho's and Sonny's. And I think that then just became Poncho's. And then for a little bit, it was called Showtime. Not to be confused with Showbiz, but it was called Showtime. And then it closed. That was like a local place around here. So that's where I got Showtime and Showbiz mixed up. And that's the facts.
That's some nasty ass pizza too.
You can go to Cece's all you can eat pizza buffet, right?
Not anymore. We don't have them in Ohio.
They don't have them in Ohio? Okay, I was going to say not anymore. Like, did they close where you are, or you won't go there anymore?
I'd go there, but...
Episode 819. What's Joe tonight? haven't seen Peggy in a while.
I've seen him posting pictures on the internet, so that must count as his month off.
Oh my goodness, Rich. Oh my goodness. And all right. We all ready to start?